Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narcheries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Battle of Bretton Woods by Ben Stile is a work of economic and political history that examines the 1944 Bretton Woods Conference, where the framework for the post-war international monetary system was created. Rather than treating the meeting as a simple example of Allied cooperation, the book argues that it was shaped by intense rivalry, especially between Britain and the United States, and by competing visions of how the global economy should be organized after World War II. Stile places John Maynard Keynes and Harry Dexter White at the center of the story, using their contrasting personalities and policy goals to explain how the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the dollar-centered monetary order emerged. The book also links those negotiations to broader questions of power, sovereignty, and long-term monetary stability, making it both a historical narrative and an analysis of the system that followed from it. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Bretton Woods as a power struggle. Not a friendly Allied consensus, a central claim of the book is that Bretton Woods should not be understood as a routine act of Anglo-American cooperation. Stile presents the conference as part of a broader geopolitical shift in which the United States, and especially officials in Franklin Roosevelt's treasury, sought to reshape the post-war order in ways that would end British financial dominance. This matters because it changes the meaning of the conference itself. Instead of a neutral technical meeting about exchange rates, Bretton Woods becomes a site where wartime power was converted into peacetime institutional design. The book emphasizes that policy choices were inseparable from strategy control over the monetary system, implied control over influence, credit, and international leverage. By framing the conference this way, Stile shows how economic architecture can be used as a tool of statecraft. The result is a more conflict-driven interpretation of the origins of the IMF and related institutions, one that places imperial decline and American ascendancy at the center of the story. Secondly, Keynes and White as opposing architects of the post-war order, the book gains much of its force from the contrast between John Maynard Keynes and Harry Dexter White. Keynes appears as the celebrated British economist, trying to preserve some room for international adjustment and for Britain's weakened position, while White emerges as the relentless American official who translated treasury power into institutional outcomes. Stile uses their rivalry to explain how ideas become policy only when they are backed by political authority and negotiation skill. Keynes is portrayed as brilliant, but increasingly constrained by Britain's financial dependence on the United States. White, by contrast, is shown as less famous, but far more effective in the bureaucratic and diplomatic arena. The book argues that White was able to dominate the process because he prepared early, worked through drafts, and shaped the agenda before and during the conference. This personal rivalry is not just biographical detail. It illustrates how the design of the international monetary system was the product of unequal bargaining power, not abstract economic consensus. The system that emerged was therefore less a compromise between equals than a victory for the American side. Thirdly, the White Plan and the institutional design of the IMF and dollar system. Stile devotes close attention to the White Plan, the draft that served as the foundation for the final Bretton Woods Agreement. This is one of the book's most important mechanisms of explanation, because it shows how institutional outcomes were shaped well before the conference opened. White and his team prepared a detailed blueprint for post-war monetary governance, and the final arrangements closely followed that blueprint. The book argues that this design gave the United States exceptional influence within the system while leaving less effective safeguards against long-run imbalance. In practical terms, the structure depended on the dollar's central role and on a fixed exchange rate regime tied to gold. Stile highlights a key weakness. There was no automatic correction mechanism to ensure that the United States would maintain monetary discipline consistent with its reserve obligations. That flaw helped create pressure for more dollars to circulate internationally than the gold base could comfortably support. This section of the book is especially valuable because it connects conference diplomacy to system design, showing how a negotiated framework can contain the seeds of its own later instability. Fourthly, why Bretton Woods eventually broke down. Another major theme is the long-term instability built into the system created at Bretton Woods. Stile links the conference design to the eventual breakdown of the dollar-gold arrangement, which culminated in the closing of the gold window in 1971. His analysis is not simply that the system failed, but that it failed for structural reasons rooted in the original settlement. Because the dollar became the main reserve currency, the world demanded more of it as international trade and payments expanded. Yet the system did not include a reliable automatic mechanism to force the United States to adjust policy when gold reserves became inadequate. Over time, this meant that the system encouraged precisely the imbalance it needed to avoid. The book uses this history to question idealized views of fixed exchange rate regimes. It suggests that any monetary order depends not only on political agreement, but also on enforcement logic, credible adjustment rules, and the capacity to balance domestic policy with external obligations. In this way, Style turns Bretton Woods into a case study in how institutional optimism can be undermined by monetary arithmetic and political asymmetry. Lastly, White Soviet connections and the moral complexity of the dollar order. Style also introduces a darker and more controversial dimension through Harry Dexter White's private sympathy for Soviet planning and his contacts with Soviet intelligence. This is not the book's main subject, but it adds moral complexity to White's role as the architect of the post-war monetary system. The point is not merely sensational. It complicates the image of White as a straightforward national technocrat by showing that the man who helped build the dollar-centered order also maintained ideological and clandestine ties that sat uneasily with his public duties. At the same time, the book does not reduce the Bretton Woods system to espionage or personal scandal. Instead, White's covert connections are presented as part of a broader portrait of a gifted but deeply ambiguous figure. This approach strengthens the book's revisionist character because it refuses to separate high policy from hidden loyalties and personal convictions. The result is a history in which the making of the post-war economic order is inseparable from questions of trust, secrecy, and the political uses of expertise. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want more than a standard account of the Bretton Woods Conference. Economists, historians of the 20th century, students of international relations, and readers interested in the origins of the IMF and World Bank will all find it useful. It offers a clear explanation of how the post-war monetary system was designed, why the dollar became central, and how the system structure contributed to later instability. Its value is not only factual but interpretive. It gives readers a strong framework for thinking about how international financial institutions reflect power relations as much as technical economic reasoning. What makes the book stand out is its combination of archival research, political context, and sharply drawn rivalry between Keynes and White. Many books on Bretton Woods emphasize institutional milestones. Style instead shows the negotiations as a contest over the shape of global authority. That makes the book especially useful for anyone trying to understand why debates about exchange rates, reserve currencies, and a new Bretton Woods still recur whenever the international monetary system comes under strain. If you would like to support Ben Style, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.